a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you. I'm Kim Cotola, and welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you, and thank you for making us part of your Sunday evening. This is a time for us to think about things that maybe don't get discussed throughout the week. Maybe you don't really even hear too much about this topic of pregnancy decisions, about the ethics of abortion, about our personal stories. Maybe you don't really hear much of this talked about anywhere, but on a program like this. And so we're really grateful for the opportunity and for the platform, particularly because I don't think that this is an overstatement. I think that everyone in our culture is to some degree trapped in an abortion mindset today. You know, it's being reframed as reproductive freedom. Abortion is said to liberate women from the burden of childbearing and motherhood. And we have this abortion mindset that proposes that pregnancy is a matter of personal choice, and moreover, choosing not to be pregnant is the highest degree of empowerment for the average woman. See, without abortion, she may be subject to economic hardship, financial dependency. She may face limited opportunity in work and education, may have to devote her life to a family member with permanent disabilities. She may have to live with a constant reminder of having been sexually violated against her will, criminally so in some cases, sometimes by a family member she must remain in contact with. You see, abortion presents itself as the answer to all of these ills. Abortion is seen as so powerful and so necessary for the well-being of women that we have an entire political party that has staked its fortunes on promoting it and protecting it as a panacea for women, the magic cure to the scourge of inequality with men, to the evils of patriarchy. It's the stroke that levels the playing field to upend the patriarchy and liberate the female sex from her biologically ordained bondage to men and the demands of motherhood. Unless you have repudiated these ideas in full, you and I are in bondage to this mindset. And I say in full because, wow, I mean, getting a new mindset is a process for many of us. The truth dawns, and we realize we've been in error, but we're told, wait, that's a gray area. There have to be exceptions, we're told. Getting pregnant of one's own volition may lead to responsibility toward the other life involved in your pregnancy, but if the sex was forced, you don't have to be burdened with the life you carry. Getting pregnant and hoping for a healthy child may lead to a moral obligation to that child, but if your child is diagnosed as less than perfect, you too can escape the burden such a pregnancy may bring. Right? I mean, I realize that by saying that these ideas represent an abortion mindset, that I'm setting myself apart from culture and opening myself to a charge of extremism. But which mindset is actually extreme? We're going to present you with a story tonight that's going to challenge your thinking on this, many of you. Now, many of you will be fully persuaded that, you know, what you have believed about God and his faithfulness is proven true by the story of Felicia Marie. And we're going to bring her in now to share with us what her life represents. Felicia, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us and for getting in touch with me when you reached out to say, hey, I have a story, and I think that your listeners may be interested to hear it. What moved you to do that, by the way?
because I think it's important to have the other side of the abortion issue, because you hear, we've been hearing, especially in the U.S., like, it's been shoved down our throats that abortion is the answer, and to take that away from women, it's a horrible thing to do. And I wanted to present the other side of the issue as a woman who has a fatal fetal anomaly. I have Turner syndrome, and my parents didn't know that I had that prenatally. So I escaped them knowing, because my mom, she told me that she more than likely would have aborted me if she had known. You know, they talk about women's rights, and you hear that a lot, but I'm a woman, and I don't think the abortion activists really care about me, because they, or people like me, because they automatically, when abortion is brought up, they bring up cases like mine. Like, so, what about fetal anomalies? What about risk of life to the mother or rape?
So, Felicia, let's talk about Turner syndrome, because when I read your story, it was something brand new to me. Tell us what it is.
Turner syndrome is a genetic disorder that affects the sex chromosomes. So someone with Turner syndrome can have only one X, or the X, there's a piece broken off that X, and that one would be considered mosaic Turner's, which is what I have. And only 2% of children, preborn children with Turner syndrome, survive to birth under natural circumstances, and 76% who are diagnosed prenatally are aborted. And the most interesting thing about Turner syndrome is that only females can have it, because you have two X's, and females have two X's, and a male have an X and a Y. So if the X is totally gone, the pregnancy is not going to be viable, and it will result in miscarriage. But because females have two X's to deal with, if one X is gone, they can still survive. So it blows the abortion debate right out of the window, because we're females, and they say that it's right to kill us.
And yet they're not protecting you as unborn children. I agree. So you said initially that it's a fatal fetal anomaly, and yet here you are. You have outlived your diagnosis, if I could say that in such a crass way. I mean, you mentioned only 2% of babies who have this will survive to birth, and then I think you said 76% of mothers who go through a genetic screening and learn about Turner syndrome will go ahead and abort. So what is the diagnosis? I mean, what is your situation right now, Felicia?
Well, when I was born, the reason why they found out that I had Turner's is because I was having seizures. My lungs almost collapsed, and I had fluid on the brain, and I was very sick. And they did testing, and that's how they found out I had Turner syndrome. And I was actually born on my due date, so I'm even as as a preborn child, I didn't show any signs of anything wrong. So that's amazing, because if my parents had known, I probably wouldn't have been here, be here talking to you right now. Nothing showed until I was born. And, I was told, I wouldn't do well in school. I'm an honor roll college graduate. I was told that I would have trouble learning. I've done excellent. I was told that I wouldn't have periods. I started my period on my own. Now I don't have periods anymore, because that stopped. But the fact that I developed secondary sex characteristics and had my period on my own, like, they were astonished. And I said in a video one time that I made this summer, I said, you know what, we are hard cases, because we prove the doctors wrong day in and day out in those hospitals and doctor's offices, because they didn't expect me to survive the night. But here I am, and I'm a contributing member of society. I have a husband of 6 years. I love life. I don't have any big health issues, except, you know, I'm infertile, but I mean that doesn't make me any less of a woman or any less worthy. And I just love life, and to think that that could have been taken away from me because of a medical opinion, it stings. It really does sting, because there's so much children even have diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that they have to show the world, and there's also some that are misdiagnosed.
Well, Felicia, and I want to talk about that. Hold that thought, because you have something very important to share. We've got to take a quick break. Our guest is Felicia Langdon. She writes for Live Action News. She served as the former Facebook page editor for Save the One. She's currently very busy with Life Defenders, a pro-life activism organization in Newfoundland, Canada. And our phones are open if you'd like to join us at 1-800-811-3003. Back to after a quick break here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
That's our number, and our phones are open on this 10th of December. We're live with our guest, Felicia Marie Langdon, who writes for Live Action News, and she also is an activist with Life Defenders in Canada. And Felicia, you have written so eloquently in a piece that appeared on the Save the One website, as well as was picked up by LifeSite News. You said, you know, for parents dealing with a challenging prenatal diagnosis, hang in there. I can tell you the doctors were wrong about mine. You mentioned this in our opening segment. And then you also have a word of hope for parents raising a child with anomalies to help them, you know, discover the gifts that they have in the world instead of their limitations. And it's almost as if you are, not only are you a person who's thriving despite your limitations, but you're actually teaching the people we look up to in our culture as the most learned, most wise, most intellectual people, the doctors. You're defying their diagnoses, and you're defying their wisdom and saying, this is who I am and this is what I'm capable of. And for me, that's just so stunning. And I hope it serves as an inspiration for others who are, you know, who are facing challenges, especially in our culture. And we have this wrong idea that because we can control certain things, if anything ever goes wrong, then, well, you know, God's not with us, or something's wrong with us, or It's just our thinking is completely upside down about it. So you started to say, you know, how often the doctors are wrong about these diagnoses. And I know in your former work with Save the One, you encountered a lot of stories along those lines as well.
Yes. Yes, so many. And there's also one that I wrote recently for my my new blog, We Defend Life blog at blogspot.com, and there was a lady who you know, they were told that she her child had Down syndrome, and it's a very recent one. I got to put it up on my blog, but she was told that her child had Down syndrome, and she didn't want to have the abortion. She said, "I'm not," and the baby was healthy. There's also someone here in Newfoundland who was told, you know, you should abort because you have your child has this run. He got markers for Down syndrome and might have to have a heart transplant. And, oh, he stopped growing and he's healthy. He's nothing wrong. Like, how many babies have actually been aborted that were perfectly healthy, but the parents were told that there was something wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories, too. And of course, we've all heard stories like this. And, you know, the medical professionals will say, well, it's not definitive. There can be false positives. But I've heard so many stories of women and families pressured to abort because of a screening test. And, you know, one of the things that at the heart of your story, Felicia, I think is so important, because you mentioned this in passing, but you wrote about it quite eloquently. I want to give you the chance to speak about it. And this is the, you know, the reality that you live with, that your mother said, I would have aborted you had I known. And I don't know how deep you were able to go in the conversation with her to see if maybe that was because she wanted to spare you from suffering, if it was put forward to her that you wouldn't have any quality of life. You know, some of these phrases that get put forward as judgments, they're not diagnoses. You know, incompatible with life is a judgment. That's not a diagnosis, right? So when we start talking about the ethics of these tests and how much weight they carry in the hearts of women, just share that part of your story with us, and what you wish had happened in your case.
I don't blame my mom for saying that. I blame society and how we're devalued, and my mom's reaction was how, like, the attitude of society. I don't think she's any less of a mother. She raised me very well, and I love her very much. I think it's her reaction was a product of society.
Fear, right?
Like what you said in regards to suffering and not knowing if she'd be able to raise me. And I never really fully delved deep into it, but I think it's probably a mixture of everything that a mother goes through that has a difficult diagnosis, prenatal diagnosis.
Sure. And so someone asked me recently about the ethics of the test and going through the testing. And, you know, I mean, when you get into ethics, we have to talk about principles. And you mentioned a principle, and I really want us to focus on that, which is that every life is valuable. And I want you to talk about that, Felicia, because I think what's missing, even in the church, is for us to be proclaiming that proactively, so that would be our first thought when we hear that there's a difficult diagnosis. Talk about the principle of every life being valuable.
every life is valuable because everybody, I don't consider anybody to have a disability. They have different abilities. And they have so much to give the world and teach the world. I watched a video there a couple of nights ago, and there were siblings that were actually interviewed, and they asked, you know, what is it like to have a child, to have a sibling with a disability? And they said, it is, it can be difficult at times, but it's a blessing. That's coming from siblings saying that, you know what, I love my sibling. Yes, it's difficult, but everybody, no matter who you are, everybody has their own unique challenges. I don't care who you are, if you're perfectly healthy or if you have issues, you're valuable and you have things that you can offer the world that others can't. And I think that everybody deserves a chance to bring that to the world, because the world can be enriched so much from the perspective that these people give.
So well said. You know, we had a guest recently whose son had anencephaly and died shortly after birth, but she talked about his abilities. I think he lived for just a matter of hours. His name is James Henry, and she said he cried. The doctor said he would never draw a breath. Well, he could breathe, and he could cry. And she cherished his abilities because, of course, they're all God-given. And she so glorified God in her love for her son and in recognizing, again, his value. When we start looking at life from that lens and from that perspective, suddenly our difficulties or even the pain or the sorrow that might attend to losing a dream when a child is born with different abilities, suddenly all of that fades in light of God's goodness and in light of knowing that God doesn't make mistakes. And Felicia, I just really appreciate you joining us to share your story. We've got links to some of your writings at cradlemyheart.org, but tell us again, you've got a new blog, so tell us again where we can find you online tonight.
WeDefendLifeBlog.blogspot.com.
All right, and we'll try to get that linked at your story at cradlemyheart.org. Felicia, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate you and sharing your heart. Thank you for doing that with us tonight.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And there's just one thing I wanted to add. You were talking about anencephaly. We have one of our editors
30
on our page. She had a baby that lived with that for 90 minutes, and she said she gave him 90 minutes of love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Felicia. I'm sure we'll be in touch again. God bless you. Stay with us coming up our second half tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll free 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. Kim Cattola here, and we are live on this 10th of December, and our phones are open, and you can join us if you have a question or a comment, and you would like to weigh in on what we've been talking about. Maybe you have a story you want to share as well. 1-800-811-3003. You know, I mean, what Felicia said is so true, that the pressure that the culture puts on mothers to not be able to be upheld by the community in the face of a difficult diagnosis. I mean, when we decided that a woman alone and her provider have the power of life and death, we did something horrible to women in putting that responsibility on their shoulders alone. Never would we do that to a woman we love with a wanted pregnancy. Never would we do that to a woman we love with a wanted pregnancy. Never would we say to her, we have no interest in this pregnancy until this child is born, if at any time that does occur. Then we'll be happy to welcome this child and become community and etc. So I just really appreciate those who have spoken up in the face of having to face down those pressures in our culture. Well, we are so pleased that I think our technology is in place tonight to bring you a guest that we had scheduled last week, and we weren't able to complete it. So let's see if we can bring Judy Magoo on the air, who is joining us from Nairobi. Judy, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. How are you doing?
Oh, praise the Lord. We have our technology.
Amen. God is good.
I'm very well, very well. And thank you so much for reaching out and for joining us to share your story here on Cradle My Heart Radio. You are a media professional in Nairobi, and you have a ministry that's quite unique. And it's something that God has laid on your heart to help those who are suffering after abortion. Tell us about that.
As you mentioned earlier, I'm a media professional in Nairobi, and I've been doing this for like 15 years or so. And wow, it's a remarkable journey on how God can be able to transform your life, having come from a very dark background, and he transforms your life and translates it into light, into giving hope to people who feel hopeless, especially after abortion. My experience with abortion came when I was born again. And it was a very difficult time, because this is a time when I was going through an issue in my marriage. And by then I'd gotten 2 children and things were not stable in the relationship. And then I felt, now I am really carrying a 3rd child, and I'm wondering, okay, how am I going to pull through this? Because my finances were chaos, my marriage was all over the place. And I found myself at the desk. And so it was a very embarrassing, hurting, difficult situation, because I was already serving in church. And I could not discuss this matter with anybody. And I remember that is when I started now crying to God and asking him, God, how am I going to get over this? Because I knew I had a call of God in my life. Earlier on, the Lord had spoken to me through visions, and he had told me, Judy, this is what I want you to do for my kingdom. I had seen a valley of people dying in a very dirty river. And there were people from all nations. And here I am, I've already committed a terrible sin. I can't approach the pastor. I can't approach anybody. And I remember after I did it, I went to church that Sunday. And after the service, the man of God just calls me and tells me, I'd not even told him, like, I'd committed an abortion. And he just tells me, Judy, there's something that you've done that is horrible, and I need you to seek the mercies of God. And you can imagine, Kim, how that felt. So I started now seeking repentance, serious repentance. I had to reach a point and decide, okay, do I want to languish in this grief and guilt, because it was such guilt that I could, it was almost tangible. And I remember I started now crying to God, have mercy on me. Psalms 51, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Because I kept seeing that vision. People were dying through the river of entertainment and media. And I knew that is where God had called me. That was my platform. And I started now getting experiences in the dreams, and I could see the Lord coming to me. I could see like fire purging me. And I walked with my father in the Lord, because I had to sit with him and tell him, this is what I've done. And finally, I was able to, you know, approach him and tell him, okay, this is what I've done. And he told me, now we need to start working together in repentance. So we started praying, we started seeking him, seeking God. And then finally, there's a man of God who came. I thank God for him. He taught us about sexual sins. He taught us about how they can bind you into covenants. And then he spoke to us about now. He helped me deal with repentance and acknowledge what I'd done before God. And, you know, I was able to make restitution even with the unborn child. And here I am. And that is now when I start reaching out to these women. Some of them can't discuss because they are too embarrassed. They can't talk to their pastors. They can't talk to them because they would feel condemned. They would feel judged. I thank God I have a wonderful Father in the Lord who can embrace you despite your personality flaws, you know.
Judy, I have to interrupt you for one moment because before we get into the ministry, I want to just talk about your story because you and I have exchanged emails. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk with each other. And so I'm just rejoicing in my heart because from Nairobi to Georgia, here we are.
That is Jesus for you.
We share this bond of love in Jesus Christ. We're sisters already in the Lord. And the universal aspects of what happens inside our hearts after abortion is well known to us. We didn't even have to discuss it. But I do want to ask you about the context of abortion in Kenya. I mean, is it like it is here in the States where it's just birth control and yet people know that there is a group, there's a remnant that's faithful that says, no, please don't do it, it's wrong, but there is everyone's just doing it. And as you say, the media is in its own way fostering it, enabling it, causing it by everything that they're dumping into the culture. I mean, tell me about the context of abortion in Kenya.
Well, in Kenya, abortion is not legal. Those are things people do. Hiding, because I remember when I had encounter, when I went to that the facility, the lady, the counselor, was telling me even people who are married would get there, would do it secretly. So this is not allowed. In fact, those are things we don't talk about here. People do not open up and talk openly about it. So you can imagine, even in church, you can't discuss some of these things. People would look at you as such a sinner, somebody who is sort of an outcast. It's embarrassing. It's a very shameful thing to discuss abortion. It's not like in the U.S. where it's legalized and it is open. But people are taking birth control pills and everything. Those ones, they discuss about them openly. But issues to do with abortion are sort of, you know, people don't discuss it.
Is the penalty for the practitioner rather than the woman who has an abortion? Are you risking, what is at stake for a woman to admit that she's participated in it?
If there are legal reasons, because people would, when I was reading through the materials, I was looking for the facility, they would say, when you're in their situations that would allow, but even in the society, it's not accepted. From a Christian context, it's not accepted. It's not legalized. But from a medical point of view, there are reasons that would justify you having an abortion. But now social issues like, you know, finances and everything, here it's not really acceptable. But if it's a medical condition, then you can, you know, if the mother is in danger or the child is in danger, then you're allowed to. Yeah, it's not very open like in the U.S.,
Another layer of glory for God releasing you and freeing you of it, for the discernment of your spiritual mentors and guides who helped you through it. Praise God, because it's always difficult, but more so for you when there's, you know, a literal darkness of illegality around it as well. Judy, one of the things now, I want to talk about, give you the chance to talk about your ministry and describe it, but you said it was on your heart to pray for people, for our listeners. Oh, yes. And so I want to offer the phone number. If you would like prayer from our sister from Nairobi, Judy Magoo, 1-800-811-3003 is our number, and it would be our joy to pray with you, 1-800-811-3003. So, Judy, somehow you got drawn back to this place to help others.
Yeah, because it was a very dark spot. You can imagine when you can see the magnitude of your call, the people and the places that God is leading you to talk to. And then here is something that sort of becomes such a major pushback for you. You can't even stand and raise your hands before God because you feel so guilty. You feel like, you know, you're a pretender before the Lord. Because abortion is like a dark cloud that comes to you, to stand between you and God, between you and your success. And it comes even with a lot of, you know, dryness, because you enter into a very deep wilderness. So it is only the hand of God that can pull you out, and you can wallow in that guilt and grief and condemnation. And I had to do something, and I found myself reaching out to people. And what is amazing, there are so many people who are doing it. Some are in church, some are not in church. And they just don't have that one person they can reach out to and tell them, I've done this. How do I deal with this? I am dreaming. I'm hearing the voices of children after this. What can I do? And so that is when I decided to start to go back to the same facility. And I gave the doctor some cards. I told him, my name is Judy. I was here. You can imagine my head was very low. Because I would remember every single step. And I told them, these are my cards. If there's any woman who would want to reach out to somebody in the secret, just let them know I am here. And since then, many, many, some are married, some are single, some are believers in church. They can't speak to their spiritual parents about this. And they would just come and we'd talk about it and we would pray. And you can imagine the testimonies that come from this. People heal. People are able to pick up from where they left in terms of their ministries, because we are called. The most important thing for every human being is to know you are called for a certain people, for a certain place. You are called to impact lives in whatever way. And my message to our listeners is that it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how your hands are soiled. It doesn't matter. Christ is waiting for you and is telling you, I love you, my child. Let us fix this matter. Let's just approach him with sincerity and truth, Psalms 51. And from there, you never know. I can't even imagine I can speak to you about this matter, and it was such a dark matter a while back. It was very hopeless for me. Yeah.
You know, and I can say the same. I've been involved in this ministry for almost 20 years. In the 20 years before, when I was still, you know, in bondage to it, there was no possibility of mentioning it to my closest friends, much less publicly, much less on a broadcast. No. So, yeah, we praise the Lord. And not everyone, you know, neither Judy nor I would suggest that you have to broadcast your name and your story on the radio. But and we will respect your privacy. There's no need to give your name on the air. But please, if you would like to be, if you would like to share your story, if you'd like to ask Judy a question, you want us to pray with you, 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And the freedom that we enjoy can be yours. What you will do with it is up to you and the Lord. Amen. We are talking with Judy Magoo from Nairobi via Skype, and we'll continue after this short break, give you a chance to call us at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Katola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
That is our number, and we're live tonight at 1-800-811-3003. And with your questions, phone calls, prayer requests to share your story, join us, 1-800-811-3003. Our guest tonight is Judy Magoo, a sister in Christ, Kenyan media professional, and a survivor of abortion, who is here to share the joy of redemption, the hope that she has in Christ. And Judy, you say, I've witnessed the havoc the media can cause, and I believe through the same medium, God will transform many lives. Talk about that vision and this unique platform that you have. I mean, there's a little bit of a tension because, as you say, in Kenya, abortion is not legal, and so you can't necessarily be associated with your cause professionally, and yet you have this excellence and all this skill and training. How are you blending the two?
Well, you know, after such a long time of being in the media, and a lot of what I was doing was secular music. I am a worship leader. And the Lord was teaching me a lot. And I realized in every place the Lord puts you, it's a platform, because Jesus Christ is not going to come there physically. There are times he showed up physically in some places. But he uses us, whatever we have in our hands, to reach out to the many. And so when I got into the media, initially I did not understand. Until when the Lord now brought this vision and I could see this river that had a lot of very toxic water, and I could see many people were dying, they were naked, they were dying. It was a very sort of a dark valley, because it was a valley. And then I could see I had a tank of water and I was trying my best to save them. After some time, the Lord started revealing to me that that is why I've put you there, so that you can show your love, that you can show your light to these people, that they may know that I love them, that with your creativity, I can use you to bring message of peace to people who are dying, to people who are lost. And that is when I sat and started asking the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to reach these people? And I realized through television projects, some Christian radio shows, some Christian radio shows like what we are doing now. But my main area is video production. So through video programs, then you could package something and just speak to them. If it's music shows, you could package something for the youth and speak to them, because the most of the people who are misled or who are affected or targeted with this entertainment that is sort of defiling, I'm trying to be very politically correct. It is the youth and the children, because once the foundation of a child is ruined right from an early stage through the toxic stuff that they are trying to consume, by the time now they become teenagers and they become adults, the job is done. So if we are able to influence the children and the youth and the teenagers with positive information, creative ways of making them use media in a positive way to impact their lives, then we are laying a very good foundation for their future. And even helping the parents to be able to understand, okay, this television, how can we use it? If it's a technology, how can we use it to make the lives of our children better, rather than seeing technology as a threat, because that is how it is on this end. People see it as a threat. They don't realize the social media, a child can be able to Google stuff that is positive. So those are the things that the Lord has been putting in my heart, and how I can influence the way our society work, the way our people work through the media. Instead of looking at it from a positive, negative perspective, we look at it from a positive perspective.
Well, and our stories are so similar because, I sacrificed a child in order to save my radio career. Abortion was at the heart of my work in media. And it's, it's so humbling for me to think that God has allowed me to grow spiritually in place as I submitted to him and now redeem the media career by speaking truth and trying to warn others about what I learned at such a great cost personally and in my family.
Media is a very powerful platform for Christ, and he wants to use it in these last hours to bring many to him, because through the media, many, many, many are getting ruined.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, Judy, tell me a little bit more about your family. Tell me about the average day.
But my family, my nuclear extended, in Africa, we have our families, has a very big context. My personal life or the whole extended, sorry, I'm just trying to clarify.
Well, however you'd like to answer.
Okay, I'm a mother of two boys. One is 12 and the other one is 6. And right now I am separated. I'm still working on my marital issues, and I'm believing God that he's gonna direct concerning this matter. It has been a very weighty issue that has found me in a very interesting path, but at the same time, this whole situation has brought me very close to the Lord. I've come to know him in a very interesting way, and I'd like to speak to people who are in difficult family situations, just to let them know that in that wilderness, God is able to draw you very close to himself. Because through my serious marital issues is when I became very close to God, and even to be able to get to this point. And I also would like to speak to people who come from family backgrounds that are a bit dark. Like my family background, where I came from, my grandparents were polygamous. And I thank God because of this background, because through it, I came to realize about the love of God. And I came to realize it doesn't matter where you come from. You are a candidate of God's grace, mercies, and power. Because through that family, I saw my grandmother get born again, get to know the Lord. Through her faith, some of us have been transformed. In fact, our whole village was transformed into knowing the love of Christ. Because she embraced Christ in such a big way that when the missionaries were coming in, now she started, like, you know, housing them in her home, and even like helping them now get to know the area and establish churches. And I've seen a whole generation that was meant to be condemned and ruined be transformed and getting to know Christ. And by the time she was departing, the Lord told me, now you need to take up this mantle and you need to start spreading the gospel to everybody who feels wretched, who feels hopeless, who feels like their life has come to an end. And I've seen God transform my family. God transformed even my own mom. She became born again, and God has settled her now in a wonderful marriage. And I am seeing God working on generations. So whoever is listening out there who is saying, oh, my life is a mess, I am ruining immorality, I'm ruined in sexual sins, I'm ruining abortion, I'm ruining a terrible family background. Now you are the candidate for God's mercy. That is one message I want to tell you. You are the candidate, and it is you that God is going to pluck out of that fire and graft you into his family of Christ and lead many to salvation, including your family. And I know Christ will be very proud of you when he comes back and is like, these are the people that you have transformed and saved through your background. So I've never let that hindrance.
What a vision. Judy, we have just about a minute remaining, and I want you to close us in prayer in that minute, please.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you because of this wonderful platform that you have given us to share the love of Christ to many. I pray for women out there or anyone out there who feels condemned because of abortion or because of the snare of sexual sins. Father, I pray by your mercies that you would reach out to them, O God, that you would let them know that you love them, that the love of Christ, Father, would transform their lives. And from today, Father, I pray that they may begin a new walk with you. For anyone who would like to give their life to Christ, just approaching this. I give my life to you. Thank you, my Lord. Amen.
So grateful for Skype technology allowing us for our video call with Judy Magoo from Nairobi. Thank you so much, Judy, and we'll have you back if you'll agree to join us.
No problem. Anything for you, anything for Christ. And thank you for having me, Kim.
God bless you. That's all for tonight. Be sure and join us next time. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.